Hi, I'm Kathy Stoddard-Torrey, leadership coach and trainer. Welcome to the Positive Effect Leadership Podcast. Here you will learn practical tools and perspectives that will help you create success and happiness. Exceptional leaders are balanced, positive, and confident. All things that you can achieve.
Welcome back. We're talking about feelings, and we're going to start with talking about the fact that everything has a fact and a feeling part. Feelings are an important part of being human, and they are present in every facet of life. It's valuable to keep in mind that every message and situation has both a fact and a feeling part. Generally, we're more comfortable staying with the facts. Facts are logical and concrete. We can prove facts and use them to argue points and make plans. In workshops and coaching sessions, I've noticed that people get uncomfortable when we start to talk about feelings. In most people's minds, feelings are messy, and opening up on a conversation on feelings is opening a tangled can of worms. It's understandable. We aren't trained to deal with other people's feelings. Someone's anger, resentment, frustration, sadness, or grief can touch our hearts and make us feel sad, defensive, or angry. However, we must learn to master our own responses and listen for understanding to someone's feelings without judgment. Feelings just are. They don't have to be justified. If I feel diminished by you asking me to fix the coffee every morning and never have anyone else do it, I can't stop feeling that way. I can, however, tell you why it makes me feel that way, which is the first step to finding a solution. One must identify both the fact and the feeling parts of a situation in order to deal with a conflict effectively or to communicate clearly. I learned this lesson late in life, and it would have saved me some time and trouble if I'd known about it sooner. For 20 years, I led volunteers as an Army spouse. In one group that met monthly, there was one young woman who always sat at my right hand and objected to everything that the group proposed. She objected on a factual level, things like logistics, budget, and convenience. She slowed us down every single month. If I'd been more savvy, I would have figured out that it wasn't the facts that bothered her. She was having strong feelings that I was ignoring. I had a vague notion that she was unhappy or resentful, but I had no idea why. If I'd asked and listened, I could have saved us a lot of time arguing over facts for no good reason. It's a good idea to make a practice of identifying the fact and feeling part of situations. Is your preteen refusing to wash dishes? If so, then ask how he or she feels about washing the dishes. Of course, no one gets out of washing the dishes just because they don't like the job. However, finding out why your preteen doesn't like it can open an interesting discussion. If a coworker consistently objects to following a procedure, find out why. You may get factual responses at first, but ask some curious questions about feelings until you know how he or she feels about the procedure. The discussion will usually include why he or she has those feelings, and there's where the valuable part of the discussion resides. Once we know the emotions that a person is feeling and why, we have what we need to start finding a solution to the challenge. The answers to the question of what someone is feeling and why are usually surprising, something that you wouldn't have guessed. The only way to identify the feeling part of a situation is to ask. The answer is the information that you need to begin finding a solution. All right, let's switch to us. I'm okay, of course. You can even ask yourself about the feeling part of a personal situation. It's great to list the facts and to know the pros and cons of possible actions. It is also enlightening to know how you feel about those possible actions and why. You can gain insight into your values and priorities by getting in touch with your feelings. Self-awareness is the first piece of emotional intelligence. Great leaders and successful, happy people have high levels of emotional intelligence. Now let's talk about how we feel about ourselves. We want to have positive feelings about ourselves. Therefore, we want to speak to ourselves in a kind and supportive way. Life is harder when we face the challenges of the world with negative self-talk in our heads. There are quite a few phrases that are tossed around to describe how we feel about ourselves. Words like self-esteem, self-love, and self-compassion. The self-esteem emphasis has traveled a long and troubled path. Many grumpy old people blame the millennials' attitude of entitlement on the self-esteem movement, but that's a discussion all on its own. However, studies have shown that a focus on self-esteem results in a dismissal of our faults and wrongdoings. We sort of ignore them and focus on our good qualities in order to maintain positive self-esteem. We are not motivated to change or even believe that change is possible when we think that we are excellent no matter what. There is no correlation between high self-esteem and success or superior performance. If we feel a need to protect our self-esteem, we rationalize bad behavior and don't think we need to change because we are so awesome already. Next up is self-love. I must admit that self-love is not one of my favorite phrases. I've already disclosed that I am not a mushy-gushy type of person, and this phrase just doesn't appeal to me. I have a dear friend who is also a coach, and she talks a lot about self-love. In fact, she has her clients look in a mirror and say, "I love you." Many times the people who do this are moved to tears. There is a very emotional reaction that I can't pretend to understand. If self-love resonates with you, it's a fine way to start feeling positive about yourself. However, unconditional self-love that focuses only on our good qualities runs the same risks as self-esteem. My favorite perspective is self-compassion. One of the reasons I like it is that it isn't overly mushy. Another reason is that it's got some impressive research behind it. When researchers compared self-compassion to self-esteem and general positive feelings, they found that self-compassion resulted in a belief that we can change our less than desirable qualities and behaviors. Even better, self-compassion motivates us to change. That's huge. Here is a definition of self-compassion from a study done by Juliana Brinas and Serena Chen called "Self-Compassion Increases Self-Improvement Motivation." Self-compassion has been defined as a self-attitude that involves treating oneself with warmth and understanding in difficult times and recognizing that making mistakes is part of being human. They go on to cite other studies that show that self-compassion creates a more positive attitude and increases optimism, as well as happiness. It also lowers levels of anxiety and depression. Bonus, self-compassion results in better romantic relationship functioning. Woot! To get these results when you consider a mistake or misdeed that you've done, ask, what would I say to myself from a compassionate an understanding perspective? Talk to yourself as you would to a close friend whom you care about. If you find yourself rationalizing the behavior to get yourself off the hook, you are slipping into a self-esteem perspective that doesn't require self-examination and behavior change. We would tell our friends if they were misbehaving, and we should tell ourselves the same thing. Exercising self-compassion is the surest way to get to self-actualization, which is realizing one's full potential. We know that we are okay and that we can be even better. Okay, you're okay too. Let's end this series on feelings by talking about our feelings for others. I'm going to tell you that it's worthwhile to cultivate positive feelings towards others. And I imagine your initial response will be that there are some people for whom you will never have positive feelings. I've had this conversation before. I know that there are annoying and obnoxious people out there. Some don't seem to have any morals or common sense. It feels like a lot of work not to dislike those people. I get it. I've been there. I am there. However, I want you to know that it is worth the effort for you. It's difficult to hold the heavy lens of negativity and not have it affect your life. It's next to impossible to hold it up some of the time and drop it other times. If we look through a negative lens at some people, we probably will use it to look at all people. We begin a cycle of negativity in which we expect to see negative behaviors, provoke them by our expectation, and then feel satisfied and right when others behave in the negative way that we predicted. It's a messy quagmire, and it's exhausting. On the other hand, a spiral of positivity is an uplifting and energizing cycle to create. There are other benefits as well that include increased resiliency, increased satisfaction with life, less inflammation in your body, increased broad-mindedness, our brain actually processes information differently, increased immunity to viruses, better ability to connect with others, less depression, and better focus. Wow, that is quite a list. Okay, so positivity is a great thing, and feeling empathy and kindness towards others is going to help us achieve it. How do we go about creating it? There are some obnoxious, annoying, dishonest, selfish, callous, infuriating, tactless people out there. Take a breath and read on. In my leadership series, I begin with a book called Leadership and Self-Deception. I highly recommend it. In a nutshell, the book promotes the idea that all personnel and personal issues are caused by one thing. We don't see other people as people. Here's an example from the book. Imagine that you are sitting on an airplane next to the window and it is open seating. No one has an assigned seat. The middle seat is open. Do you put your bag in the middle seat and try to discourage people from sitting there even though the flight attendant has announced that the flight is full? Do you judge each person by how much of an inconvenience that they might be? Does one look too chatty? Another have too many bags? In that moment, are you seeing the other passengers walking down the aisle as people like you who have a need to sit down, or as annoying objects that threaten to invade your personal space? How would you feel as a person walking down the aisle? The book explains the theory in detail, but basically, we want to see everyone around us, even the obnoxious ones, as people. Of course, that doesn't mean that we have to put up with unethical behavior or disrespect. It means that we set boundaries and give feedback in a compassionate and kind way. We talked about self-compassion earlier, and now we are talking about practicing other compassion. It's a new term I just made up. The key is to see the other people as people with needs and dreams equal to our own. We want to treat them the way we want to be treated. Sound familiar? I continue to work on seeing other people as people. When I begin to slip by magnifying someone's faults and objectifying them, I repeat to myself, this is a person with worries and dreams equal to my own. There is another way to develop empathy for others that has some impressive research behind it. The loving kindness meditation increases our positivity with all the benefits mentioned earlier. It also increases our empathy for others and our feelings of friendliness and compassion. There is no right or wrong way to do it. There are just guidelines. You can search online and find all types of loving kindness meditations. You can listen to guided meditations online or create statements to use in the meditation that have the most power and meaning for you and do it on your own. Basically, during the loving kindness meditation, we say 3 or 4 phrases several times. The first time we say the phrases, we say them to ourselves. The most important part of the meditation is to create and hold on to a feeling of friendliness, compassion, joy, and expansiveness as you say the phrases. It helps to begin by visualizing people, places, and situations that bring you joy. Get a very clear mental image and then focus on the feelings. For me, it feels like my heart expands like the Grinch's heart did. Now here's an example of the phrases that you can use. May I be filled with loving kindness. May I be well in body and mind. May I be at ease and happy. Then say the same phrases while thinking of someone with whom you feel close. You would think, may you be filled with loving kindness, and hold that person's image in your mind. It's also important to hold on to the positive feeling while thinking the phrase each time. It's not too hard to say the phrases with feeling when it's towards someone that you are fond of. Next, we move on to someone who we feel neutral about, someone we don't really care for, and finally, everyone in the world. Use the same 3 to 4 phrases each time and focus on maintaining the feeling of compassion and acceptance. This practice can be a game changer in your life. You can see results by meditating for 10 minutes about 5 or 6 times a week. Who wants more resiliency when facing challenges and more satisfaction with life? I do. For me, resiliency is one of the biggest benefits of the loving kindness meditation. The world is full of challenges, and I welcome the grit that will help me to overcome them. The goal is to incorporate loving kindness meditation into your life for 8 weeks. By then, you should see results that will motivate you to use the meditation for the rest of your life. In the end, we win when we develop feelings of friendliness and compassion for others. We get to put down the heavy lens of negativity. We begin to see the positive things around us and expect more of them. We create a self-supporting cycle of positivity that improves our other compassion, our own health, and our emotional well-being. Until next time, live big and find joy.
The Positive Effect Leadership Podcast is produced by Tapfer Consulting. You can sign up for our blog and find free stuff at kathystoddardtorrey.com.